For some reason, people are tending to share their dramatic experiences. Like, one horrible thing happened and 1,000 nice things happens today. And I'm going to tell you about the horrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And if I only tell you about all the nice things, then what are you, Pollyanna? Or are you full of it? Or are you just hiding stuff? Welcome, honey.
Welcome. Another episode of Driving to the Res.
With your favorite hosts.
Larry and Inelia.
Good job, babe. Ooh,
good job, hon. So before we start, I'd like to remind everybody that this is the first part of our podcast.
A good point. First part of our podcast. There's two parts. Second part is on...
Subscribestar.
Yes.
Yes. You can go over to Subscribestar and support us by joining the second part.
Right. I mean, we like doing the first part.
Yes.
And we love doing the second part.
We do, yeah.
We do the second part with a team.
A panel. Amazing people. Right. Yes.
Professionals and...
Mystics.
Yes.
So. Go ahead and it's only $8 a month. Go over there, get the second half, join the conversation.
Indeed.
And there's even an after party after each episode on Fridays at 9 a.m.
Yep.
On Subscribestar.
After parties are the highlight of my week, I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh. They're really, really fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I was going to tell you my password, honey, but then the whole world wouldn't know how to get into my iPad.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No. Trust in your higher self choices.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard that before. It's a higher self choice.
Yes.
You've made a higher self choice to XYZ. And I mean, it might be maybe fighting or kicking about it, but it's a higher self choice. So you got to do it.
Right. Or is it an in-between life's choice or, all these other things come in a lot. So I thought I'd talk about it a little bit.
Thank you.
And discuss it with you.
So you wrote an article. So if you're listening and you like rather read.
You can read the article.
It's
I would
published.
Say do both, you know. It's like you can get a lot more if you sit down with the article and read it.
After you've listened or vice versa. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my case, we do an after party. Mm-hmm. An after party is usually on Friday. We release our episode on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday morning, we talk about with each other. Mm-hmm. Everyone who shows up, you know, what was in the podcast. But I often read the article that morning and I get more out of it in that morning just from reading it. Right. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So why is this happening to me? We often ask or hear others saying.
Why me? I have asked that 100 times. Why me? Usually it's when I'm working on the boat.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And the nut's stuck or the.
That's actually an interesting subject because I have watched you as a fisherman for many years. And this year you've taken a back seat. You haven't been fishing. But I've watched that struggle and how challenging the whole thing is, maintaining the boat and, you know, the ship, I should say, and the crew and... all the things, prices of fish. And it's always a why me type situation. It seems like every single time.
Yes.
And just before you leave, a couple of days before, your body like shuts down, you know, starts flushing and gets all sorts of fevers and aches and pains and all the things. But you push through and you get there and you work and you're very good. You're very good at what you do. And, but it seems to me that the larger self, your higher self, has been pulling you away from that.
More and more.
Yeah. More and more, and in stronger terms.
And completely true, yeah. It's a higher self choice that's in conflict with my, I guess I would say, my comfort. Or not my comfort, my habit.
And profession that you're really good at.
And, you know, a lot of the times it's the things that I use to talk myself into continuing to allow myself to become, you know, very good at it were the things that now I am using to stop me. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it might sound a little confusing, but to be a good fisherman, you have to go fishing.
Yes.
And the strangest thing is 90% of the guys, if not more, they want the end part, not mm-hmm. the like go out on the ocean part. Mm-hmm. They want the give me my paycheck part.
Right? And also they get, I mean, I've seen, like,
well, we're fishermen. I think we're supposed to go fishing.
But that's also I've seen
where we like it.
Other captains go to their ships.
Yeah.
They ignore them completely. They don't even go into the engine room or anything. They go out, fish, come back, pay the crew, get money in the bank, you know. And boom, it's done. But with you, it's like every little thing breaks and why me's all day long for a whole week, 2 weeks, sometimes a month as you get ready. Oh my gosh, you know, it's such a different experience. So that's interesting, isn't it? Would you say, looking back, like 2020 vision, although not quite, because you're not quite let go of it yet, would you say that it was your higher self trying to stop you from doing that? Or was it your higher self making it challenging so you would do it? Which one is it?
There was an aspect of challenge to it that I enjoyed the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason that I would never get bored.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself, it's all right. I can fish until I can hardly even get on the boat. It'll always be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Finding the fish, selling the fish, fixing the boat, getting the boat, crew, et cetera. There was a long, long, long list of boat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
also you're addicted to surprises, right? So
surprises, right?
And it's like, okay, low frequency surprises or high frequency surprises? Which surprise would you like today?
Well, you have a I will call it a somewhat jaded experience of fishing.
I can't. Yeah, if I'm on a boat, there's no fish.
There's no fish. Yeah.
My hair self made sure I'd never go fishing. Probably I would like it a lot or something. I don't know. And I would get distracted. But when I'm on a boat, it doesn't fish. And any boats around me don't fish.
Yeah. Well, for a period of time in my life, right,
mm-hmm.
that held enough fascination and attraction and interest and surprise and not all low frequency, not mm-hmm. all high frequency, but all challenge.
Yeah.
To keep me interested enough to do it. Because in the past, whatever job I did, if it lasted more than 6 months, I was shocked.
Because it was too easy for
you? It just became no challenge, no too easy, and it's not interesting. You lose interest, you know?
So you're like driven or motivated by challenge.
At that level uh-huh. of awareness, yes. challenge was interesting.
Yeah. What about now that you have a different level of awareness?
Level of awareness changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Would you say now that challenge is a motivator for you?
No.
Those negative challenges? No?
No.
What would you say motivates you these days?
It's more of a, it's hard to describe or explain. It'll take me a minute to think about it. But it's not a challenge that motivates me, but no challenge stops me. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like whatever it is that we encounter, I know I'm capable of dealing with it and handling it if we encounter a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So challenge isn't the motivation, but it's not an obstacle either.
Mm-hmm.
But what is interesting isn't to go set myself in a situation with a lot of challenges.
Mm.
That doesn't motivation. That's not my prime motivation.
What is your prime motivation now?
Well, I'm still kind of searching for it, but in switching from one to the other, it's like switching from a higher self choice to keep me occupied to a higher self choice to navigate the split.
Mm.
And navigating the split, which is something that we talk about often, is more of an intellectual, spiritual, experiential sharing like we are right now. Process. And when you're in the middle of doing it, having it and being it, mm-hmm. it's maybe a little bit less easy to say it, but it's this. Yeah. This is something that I cannot do fishing.
Right, indeed.
But fishing was something that kept me occupied where I otherwise might have become so probably distracted by, I don't know what. I don't know what. I just feel like that it was interesting enough to keep me occupied. It also allowed me to do the things that I wanted to do that, you know, brought me to here. A certain amount of freedom, a certain amount of autonomy.
Yeah.
So that I could make my own schedule and have the financial ability to do the where, go where, take the time off or not, or, or whatever it was. I was autonomous, right? Whereas if I was maybe entrenched in a solid career of some kind, then maybe no, I don't know.
Okay.
It'd be harder to maybe quit a 25-year, 20... Some, there's some period of time when you go work somewhere, like the Coast Guard or the Army or FAA or government service or even any job where at some point you retire, I think, right?
Right, right.
So at some point you're so close to that that no matter what you might ought to be doing, you will continue doing the other thing because you're not going to retire. Why would you not? Right?
Right.
It's kind of like set up in the system.
Yes.
So if I were in one of those type of jobs, it, it might have been harder for me to just slide over, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. There's a speculation.
No. Okay, let's continue with the article. As light workers, we often want to figure this out.
Right? Yeah.
It's what has happened to me.
What's happening?
And when it comes to negative interactions, we try to stop this from happening, which is a great way to respond to them. You're not here to have negative low frequency interactions. That is not our mission. And I think that you embodied that, right? It's like your mission isn't to, you know, have continuous low frequency engagements with your boat and your crew and, you know, their fish buyers and all the things. I mean, there was a lot of alcohol involved too. So
well, the whole industry is rife with alcohol and substances and the drugs and everything else and low frequency motivations and fears and terror and all kinds of things. There's professional versions of it, but even those, I've been on those and they're completely 100% motivated by a financial interest, you know.
Above everything else.
Above everything else.
We're not saying that financial interest is a bad thing. It's not, because we're living in a world and a society that it's better that you're financially well off so you can have the power to do, invest.
But we wouldn't necessarily do it at the expense of everyone.
Exactly. So that's the difference, right? When you do negative and horrible things purely to gain profit, that's when it goes wrong. That's, or to gain anything, to gain pleasure of some kind, or to gain power over others, to gain whatever. When it damages other people and yourself, then that's not good motivation. All right. Often when what happens is good things always happen to me, many light workers will hide this fact or feel bad about it because it seems to be the opposite for other people. And I don't want to make them feel worse about it. They can start feeling guilty that they have a charmed life or worried that they might ruin it somehow by talking about it.
Well, you know, in general practice, I imagine it probably depends on who you're hanging out with, but for some reason, people are tending to share their dramatic experiences. Like, one horrible thing happened and 1,000 nice things happens today, and I'm going to tell you about the horrible thing.
Indeed.
And if I only tell you about all the nice things, then what are you, Pollyanna? Are you full of it? Or are you just hiding stuff? Or, you know, or maybe you're boring.
Right. It's interesting, isn't it?
Because all these excuses will come up, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're bragging.
Right, right. Or what's the real story behind that? Yeah.
She may
what
say,
are they hiding?
They're obviously hiding something. Nobody has a life like that.
Yes. Okay. For me, the real cruncher of a problem is how to make sure that our choices that brought about the experiences in our lives are coming from our higher self and not from some destructive or limiting program or influence that we've unconsciously integrated into our lives. Circumstances in our lives are always a direct result of our choices. We may be talking about millions of tiny little choices throughout the decades, or one big whoober of a decision made in one day. Sometimes they're choices made before we were even born. But all of our choices are subject to us changing our minds about them. We can change our minds about stuff and start making new choices in a consistent way, which brings about a change in our experience of life.
So choices made before we were born are like karma things?
If we... Like if a person believes in karma, then they will make choices and stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't have to even believe in karma this lifetime to have karma from a last lifetime
that
coming
they believed
in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it all depends on the definition of karma that we're talking about, right?
Right. I have heard several, and it's one of those terms that's been co-opted to some degree.
Oh, 100%.
We take it for assigning blame. We take it for assigning judgment. We take it for assigning a lot
putting
of things.
Putting up with negative things.
And I don't think probably in its origin it was actually that.
No, it wasn't.
It was probably something entirely different.
It was something entirely different, yes. So basically what we need to do, and one of the things I want to clarify here before we go on to the next part, is that sometimes, yes, a negative experience will happen that was our higher self choice for having that experience.
Right.
Oh, I would like to know how it feels to XYZ. So XYZ happens and you feel it and you have that experience. But it's not the rule for the light workers on Earth who are listening to this. You didn't actually come here for that anymore.
Right, that's the point. That's
the whole point.
We're in a split.
Exactly. So that makes a huge divide, like a line in the sand or whatever that's called, you know, that separates you from the rest of humanity. And you probably have always felt that you were different from the rest of humanity. And that's why. Because in this lifetime, you didn't come here to have those low frequency experiences just because you wanted to have them, right, at a higher self choice level. And we could even think of everything that people do is a higher self level. And we can think of it from the perspective of very long life plans and things like that. Many lifetimes life plan. However, in this lifetime, things are different.
Yes.
Did you want to add something there,
Hun? Well, that's the distinction, because oftentimes I've seen people lump everything into one. Mm-hmm. One bump. One
like what? Can bundle. You give an example?
Like all these things happen for a reason, and this bad things happen, but it made me a better person. And I learned things through these hard lessons, because I'm a blockhead, so you know, I need to have tough lessons. Then I get it.
Yeah.
This kind of justifications for low frequency experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And these were true in light dark reality. Mm-hmm. They were true for the experience you came for. Mm-hmm. You wanted some suffering. You wanted some whatever. Just these are the nature of a low frequency experiences. Okay. What is that? Oh, I cut my arm. Jeez, that's great. Now somebody close to me will care about me when they maybe didn't before.
Oh,
boy, we get to manipulate people.
Whatever.
Yeah. Through injury. Ah, here we go. Now take care of me.
Right. Or.
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It makes it a little bit more challenging because life was so easy.
I could do it with two hands, but can I do it with one?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So the motivation could be all sorts of things.
Right. These are motivations for light, dark experiences.
Light, dark experiences.
In light, dark reality, that's the nature of why you came.
Yes.
To have them.
Yes, exactly.
So in split, that's where it becomes a little bit different.
Yeah, because you didn't come for that.
Not if you're listening to this and still listening.
Right.
If you're still didn't come for that.
You didn't. You
no,
really didn't.
No.
All right. A choice made from a higher self level is a choice we really want to experience.
Yeah.
From expanded levels of awareness, it may be contradicting some choices with like from lesser levels of awareness, but it is in our best earth experience to go along with what that higher self choice is. It's not always easy to know, though.
But yeah, I mean, let's take a very simple one. It's like, my body would like to go get drunk.
Right.
Drink a couple of drinks of whiskey and hang out with my mates.
Yeah.
My higher self knows,
that's an
open door to a lot of things that we don't and are not here to experience.
Right.
So we would rather not, actually.
Right.
But I would really like to. My mates would really like it if I did it. They don't even like to hang out with me if I don't.
Exactly.
Because I'm sticking them up.
I'm going to lose all my friends.
My friends are going to leave.
Yeah.
Because who wants to hang out with a fuddy-duddy?
No. Or a teetotaler.
A teetotaler?
Judging us.
So, right. You can see
the higher and lower.
The higher and the lower self, the body body, but even oftentimes your body's like, we'd rather not, but if you insist,
exactly.
We'll turn our liver on and whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, That's a really good example of the two different choices. And sometimes it is a little bit tough to go with the higher self choice, right?
No, I'm not. Right, it's not as always as obvious as should I drink a gallon of whiskey or not?
Right, it's not always as obvious.
That's pretty obvious, no. Mm-hmm. So sometimes here's the list. It's like let's make another for instance. Okay.
Here's a list of items you can look at to see if your decision is truly a higher self choice.
Okay. I'm going to say my choice of something that I want to do is I want to take the dogs for a walk.
Okay. All right. Is the choice made primarily of fear-based reasons?
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the damage to the enclosure or them to each other if I don't.
Okay. So not immediate body preservation choices.
No.
But more like the decision choice such as work, loves, health, spiritual expansion. So damage to themselves, that's a body, right?
Yeah, I'm a little afraid. So if I take the dogs for a walk and I'm afraid they're going to damage themselves, I'm kind of like already set for them damaging themselves, right?
Right, right.
If I look at it closer, mm-hmm. I might say I do want to take the dogs for a walk, but I'm going to process that fear.
Yeah.
I want to take the dogs for a walk so that we can enjoy
each other
the and land. The nature and the space and the place and the exercise and the feeling of satisfaction from the having exercise. A physical exertion. Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's fear-based, then it's not a higher self choice.
Yeah.
Because your higher self choice, so your higher self is not motivated with fear.
Yeah, totally isn't.
Right? No.
Got it.
And then you might go process your fear that they're going to damage themselves or
if I don't.
Destroy the enclosure if you don't. And you find that actually they were barking all night and they're really tired and they'd rather sleep in their little nests, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's an interesting concept.
It's interesting. And that was a small thing, you know, take the dogs for a walk. We could, we should probably line towards a bigger thing. It's like should I change this job to a different job?
Right.
So what would be the motivation for changing jobs?
Let's say you're afraid you're going to get sacked.
Right. So I want to get a new job because I'm afraid I'm going to get fired from my old job.
Yeah. So you don't want to experience rejection. You just want to be the one that breaks up with them rather than breaking up with you.
Right. So the tendency in that situation is to find a new job that you will get fired from.
Yes. Or you will actually get fired from this one.
Or you will actually get fired from this one and have not found the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the nature of light dark reality.
Yes, light dark reality.
As it tends to
propagate
light dark experiences.
Yes. So fear-based stuff, if you don't process your fear, man, you're going to actually feed
propagate
those experiences.
The manifestation, orchestration of more light dark experiences.
Yeah, more fear.
So we strive to make our choices from a clear state, one that's not motivated by fear, but maybe inspiration.
Inspiration, not motivated by curiosity.
Yeah, curiosity.
Exploration, love.
Love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Two. Do we feel like we're a victim?
Oh, I'm always being blah, blah here, so I need to leave.
These are small self-decisions. When we feel victimized, we're literally giving away our power to an external source. So again, not a higher self-choice. Yeah, so it's like that boss is always bullying,
always picking on me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember there was one of my students said that to me. He says, my boss is always picking on me, always picking on me. And I asked him, how was your last job? What happened in your last? Oh, that boss was always picking on me too. What about the one before? Oh, yeah. Bosses are just evil.
Bosses just pick on you.
They just pick on me. Oh, pick on their, you know, in whatever.
Subordinates.
All the time. They're just bullies. Bosses are bullies. Okay. We have a common denominator here. It's you. So let's process the fear of the boss bullying you. And
becoming aware of it.
Yeah, and stop seeing him as a bully. And become aware of it, the fact that it's a pattern.
This is a pattern.
Yeah, Because I've known that, I mean, tons and tons of people who get on great with their boss and would do anything to support their boss, you know?
I was just watching a YouTube of one of the billionaire guys. Mm-hmm. And he's a billionaire type of construction kind of fella. And they go underneath the crawl spaces and put in dehumidifiers and they fix the underneath there. And that's like a place that hardly anybody wants to go. And he found
I've heard about him. Yeah.
Nobody really wanted to go there. Right. So he said, well, I'm not afraid of that. I can take care of that. And he generated $1 billion business out of that. Mm-hmm. And not a negative, like there were no negative motivations in it. It is all positive. And he goes to the whole office and talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. They're there for 20 years, 16 years, 17 years, 40 years. Mm-hmm. There's all of them on the wall, their pictures. And mm-hmm. these guys have this excellent, you know, experiences of their job and their work and their boss. It's like, this is it.
Yeah.
And he writes books and motivation speeches. Yes. And, you know, he has a daily quote that like inspires him, and you can use it to help inspire you if you like. And he spent his whole childhood listening to motivational tapes in his car, and all of his construction worker friends are like, what the hell are you doing? Put in the rap music or the rock and roll. He's like, no, I prefer to listen to this. Yes.
Hire
self choices, man. That was really amazing.
Yeah,
I found it really very inspirational.
Yeah. Okay. Do we allot blame to ourselves or others? Blame is not the same as the ability to respond, which is responsibility. If there's blame involved, we're not in a higher self mode. Higher self is not motivated by potential for blame. What about that one, honey? Blame.
I'm pretty sure it's somebody's
The government fault. Did it.
Oh, yeah. The damn government did it.
The Russians did it.
And the Russians.
And the Chinese.
And the Putins.
And the Putins.
And the Bidens. The Trumps.
The Trumps.
Yeah. Those are the ones to blame.
Yeah, there you go.
Because of that, we should move.
Right. Or we won't have a choice to move.
We won't have a choice. He'll lock us in.
Yeah.
And then they'll tie us down and make us do something.
Yeah. Oh, can I tell you a little story about that lockdown thing?
Oh, sure.
So some years back, about, is it 3 or 4 years ago now?
Could be.
My higher self guided me to rearrange my entire life.
I remember.
To not travel.
I remember being not so happy about that.
Several years ago, like 3 or 4 or 5 years maybe. And I was like, this is very strange because I used to do a lot of in-person events in Europe and around in the United States, and I would be flying a lot.
Yeah, but you married a fisherman and I married a world traveler, and I wanted to travel the world, and I don't know about you wanted to.
I didn't know actually you were a fisherman. I missed that little detail. Like, what? Were you going where? You have a what?
What are you doing that for?
But anyways, my higher self said, knuckle down. Was it hatches? What's the saying?
Batten down the hatches.
Batten down the hatches. You're not going to travel for the foreseeable future. We don't know when, if ever, it will come back.
When, if ever.
So I rearranged my entire life around that higher self choice, and I didn't have a good why for it. I liked travel. My family's all in Europe. You know, most of my family's in Europe or now in other states. And so it was a very strange guidance to receive. And I tested and I looked at it and it had no real reason for it at all. And we even made an extraordinary effort to get the Shaman Shack going as an event center. Because we're going to need one, right, if we're not going to travel.
Which is a funny thing anyway, contrary to our smaller self likes. Like, you know what? Let's live with a whole bunch of people.
No, we don't like that. That's how high lower self sounds. So we did all that. And then there was a worldwide lockdown when people couldn't travel and all sorts of things came into place.
Yeah.
In airports and other locations. And so it was very broad. It was a very broad thing. And I understood they hire self-guidance from years earlier.
Right,
right? Because it was more like, it was also a spiritual thing. It was an energetic thing. It wasn't just a physical thing. And it was fascinating, right? But there was no blame involved, right?
No, but when it did happen and to come about, and it was fairly impactful for, I think, a large majority of people, it was like pretty much nothing.
For us, it was a nothing, yeah.
Maybe a little nicer.
You like that nobody's coming.
Well, we still had people coming.
Yes, we did. Yeah,
we actually did. And it was actually an incredible experience to have that, in spite of all the
amazing
level of fear cranked to the roof.
Yeah.
And the effect.
And it happened anyway.
We did our event, people came from all over the world.
Even though all the airplanes were closed.
No airplanes were flying, but that didn't matter.
They did it. They managed to arrive.
And they did.
It was amazing. Really amazing. Time. Yeah. So, higher self versus lower self. We don't blame, right?
Right.
Okay. Another one. 4. We get hit of a strong negative emotion, adrenaline, or drama. These feed the low-frequency entities and situations of the world. As a light worker, this is never a higher self decision.
Oh, that's one of those, like, if I say, should I go to the casino tonight? And I get a look at it, I go, ugh. Kind of like, no.
No.
Because I'm hit with a wave of no's.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 years ago. Right now, if I say, can I go to the casino, the only actual image that comes is, oh, they have a pretty nice restaurant there.
They do. I was thinking that too. So when you said
not exactly accurate. They have a really nice restaurant in there. House of Seven Brothers, I think they call it.
Yes.
I've seen some pretty nice pictures of some pretty yummy food.
We went there once. Yes. It was really good food.
So, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, if I said that same thing, I would get that wave of negative and repulsions, like stay away from there, don't go there. Mm-hmm. And probably for a good reason, but now, yeah, it doesn't do that because my higher self choices are a little bit more in charge. Mm-hmm. So if my look at go to the casino, what would happen in there? Well, if we went there, we'd have an excellent dinner.
Oh, yes, we would. But I thought you were talking about before.
10 years ago, if I went there, it would be negative stuff.
Yeah.
And every time I did go, it was negative stuff. Right. I never really had a positive experience there.
Wow. Okay. So I'm also talking about things like a person will, at a subconscious level, let's say, start going out with a person that is full of drama, negativity, and really negative traits that are going to hurt them. And then, of course, it all plays out and the person gets deeply hurt. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a strong hit of a negative emotion. Right. And it feeds on drama, it feeds on stuff, and it sticks for quite a few days. And this whole situation happened to feed that drama, to feed those negative emotions and the entities and situations that feed on that, including that the person who gets off on drama as well, right? Or, yeah. So those type of situation and stepping into those type of situations is never a higher self decision. Do you know what I'm saying?
I feel a little tiny bit lost, honestly. I'm trying to think of situations where I will be checking this choice that I'm making and the response would be a hit of strong negative emotion or drama. Adrenaline or drama. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to think of one that I might be wanting to make that is the response of, and I'm not really finding one really on top of my head. How about you?
So going back to the relationship thing, I noticed that when I was younger and I was dating, I would often, when I'd met the new person, the new guy, if I got a kind of fear, like it was almost a really strange fear of rejection type energy or fear of being hurt, then I would pursue that relationship.
Wow.
Right? And I couldn't understand why. I once became conscious and aware of it. I'm like, wait, that's weird, right?
That is pretty weird, yeah.
That's really weird. And then when I looked at it, it was because of the way that I was brought up. It was a very highly abusive situation with my parents and then the rest of the family growing up. What my body learned was that people who love you are going, if they really love you, they're going to hurt you, right? So there's a kind of weird learning,
right,
that is at a subconscious level. Once I identified it, I used that feeling to reject the guys, right? Oh, that guy gives me that feeling.
Stay away, man,
right? Okay. But that took some learning because I had no experience, previous experience of positive relationships. So how would I learn that, right? So that's just when also, you know, you get the hit and then you get the fear, the adrenaline and everything. And if you're going through it at a subconscious level, yeah, like you create really negative situations for yourself. Like you said, if you had that feeling and you went into the casino, you had negative experiences there. Yeah. So it's like that. It propagates itself and it feeds on itself and it continues and it becomes larger and even more unpleasant. And, you know, then you end up drunk. You see, that's the only way you can escape it. Whatever.
Whatever.
You know? But once you become aware that if you indulge in those, you're actually feeding the suffering of the world and all these entities that feed off all of that stuff.
I think I see now.
I'm addicted to that stuff.
It's like, should I do that? Ooh, I'm very afraid. I'm going to get like totally, it's going to be that. Okay, yeah, let's do that. It's a big challenge. Let's do that.
Yeah.
That's the, yeah, what you're talking about.
Right, okay. Right. So it's like, yeah, no, don't do that, right?
Okay.
And start learning what motivates you. You start learning what motivates you, and you can, you know, crank it up a few notches, and you can go, like, in many directions, as long as they're high-frequency responses. Yeah. So if something puts you in a state of fear, for example, you step back, you pause, you think about it, right? You process that fear and then see, would I take that same decision?
Minus
the fear, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So these are just four examples you can look at, the way to respond to those situations, to say, this is interesting. How would I respond for my higher self instead?
That's a good question to ask.
Yeah. So it's like if you're feeling pushed by yourself or others to do something that you don't want to do, it's like, how would I respond for my higher self instead, right? And this reminds me actually of a situation that happened when I was a teenager. And to me, it was like, okay, I need to look at this, because there was a situation with in England with a girl who, you know, the boogie jumping, what was that called?
Bungee jumping.
Bungee jumping was just started, just began. It was a whole, people were obsessed about it in the UK. I don't know about here, but.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was at it.
And not me, not once.
And then I wanted to do it.
No actually. Way, yeah, couldn't forget it.
Yeah.
No way.
Anyways, but I was feeling pressured, right? Mm-hmm. And then in the news appeared a story of some friends who took a birthday girl, they gave her the present of a bungee jump, and she didn't want to do it. She was terrified of it, terrified, and she did not want to do it. She did not want to do it. And they sat with her and talked her into it eventually. She got on that ledge, right? And she jumped. And because she was so afraid, she panicked and tried to grab the rope. And she twisted and turned and tried to grab and tried to stop herself going down. And she was decapitated.
Right? Well, that's exactly what I would have expected. Don't right? do that, Shay.
Yeah. So
don't ever jump off anything with a rubber band on you.
When I looked at it, like, I was like, whoa. She knew, and then she knew, what did she know? She knew how she would react, and she knew it wasn't safe because she would react in absolute terror and fear. But she did it anyway because she was told, she was, you know, talked into it. People telling her it's fine, it's safe, and you just do this, and you hold your arms in, and whatever, and you'll be fine. But she just couldn't do it, right? So to me, it's like, what was the higher self, you know, response there? Was it a little self? I think it was a little self that made her do it.
Right, because how'd she get talked into it?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it, to me, it's like, at the end of the day, you could say, oh, everything is a higher self decision. But I can tell you that the doors for death, there's gazillions of them in your life. And obviously, you don't take them all. You just take the one.
Yeah, the one that you take.
The one that you take. So that was, yeah, absolutely, at a higher self level, there was a door for her to die then that day on her birthday. But she didn't have to take it. Yeah. And it feels to me, when I tapped into it, that as soon as it happened, she went, oh, shit. Like, that was a big oopsie. Right. So when you feel that, oh, God, that was a big oopsie, you guaranteed that that was not your self-choice.
It wasn't your self-choice.
But, like, those decisions can have huge
impact.
Consequences and impact. Yeah. So always think, what would my higher self do in this situation? Right?
I'm pretty sure there's people who, when they look at the idea of jumping off a bungee with a bungee, they don't get, like,
terrified,
strong negative emotions, mm-hmm. drama involved. Yeah. It's like pure flight.
Yeah.
Of the,
maybe a little fear, like
a tinge, you know, of it, maybe.
But you're still in control, right? You're going to keep your arms in and you're going to do the whole thing properly.
At a higher self level, for them, that is like an expansive experience.
Yes. Yes.
If you threw me off the ledge with a rubber band on me,
No,
not a higher self.
Not a higher self
experience. No, not at all.
the opposite.
It's entirely the opposite.
Yes, indeed.
I think it'll be interesting to see what Fred and Kara and maybe Ashley or Ileana have to say about that.
Oh my gosh, yes, our panel.
Our
panel. I can't wait to hear some of these experiences. Yes. So don't forget, go and subscribe to the second half, second part. And you can do that Subscribestar. Find us there. There's all the links and everything are going to be all over the internet wherever you found it.
Yeah, it's very easy to find.
Very easy to find.
Okay, see you
then. Bye.
Love you, honey.
Love you. Even as a tiny little kid, I would find that there was a lot of drama growing up in my family, in my country, in my culture, people around me. I could perceive it. And I could sense it and see it. And when this drama was happening, I remember even when there was like a dramatic event, somebody getting injured or whatever, I would keep my cool. That's what people would call it. Even as a little kid, I would look and see and respond to what was happening around me.